Daddy, I just thank you for today. I thank you that you are the greatest daddy in the whole entire atmosphere, or I don't even know what you call it. But I do thank you this morning, God, that you are a father to the fatherless. So those of us celebrating this day without our dads, I thank you that we are not orphaned and we are not abandoned. I thank you. And so, Daddy, I just want to wish you a happy Father's Day. Because you are good, and you are faithful, and you are true, and you have never once lied, you have never once left, you are always present, you are invested in each and every one of us, you are so incredibly invested in each and every one of us, and I just thank you for it, in your name, Jesus, amen. Ah, he's a good dad. He's a good, good daddy. All right. How many of you guys enjoyed the speaker last week? Yeah, so good, right? And I'm just believing that even what I couldn't comprehend or fully, I just absorbed it all into my spirit. And hopefully, I would like to have them back if I know they're willing to do that. There's a couple things I want to share just from my heart to you this morning from that and like what I felt like God was showing me. The first thing, and I asked Jody if I could share this, but the first thing I was thinking about and I was like, man, God, like I'm so like in this region and in this area, especially in the Midwest, being a woman in ministry is a difficult thing. And I was like, man, God, like, I know that your heart is for unity. I know that your heart is, you know, and it's the team and it's that. But I really felt like there was something still, like there's something higher yet that we need to push for. And I was thinking, man, God, like, I will really feel like there's been breakthrough when an unmarried woman has a position in the church. Because then there's nowhere or no one covering her but the Father and Jesus, her husband. And then I walked in here this morning and I see Jody and it did something. It awakened something in me. I'm like, our city has already done it. Our city has already done what is in my heart and what I want to see in the body of Christ. Freeport's not as far away as we think it is. Freeport's not as lost and forsaken as we feel like it is, right? And Jody's divorced. Oh, church. Does that disqualify her? No. Certainly not. Oh, that'll preach. I'm just saying like, oh, come on, Daddy. Breakthrough is coming. Breakthrough is coming. And unity is coming. And we're just going to see incredible things. I believe that. God will accomplish his will. And if the church isn't going to do it, he'll find people that will. I kid you not. So don't think that just because we're in the church that we're the ones that are going to accomplish his will. If we're not willing, he will find people who will accomplish it. So, and he's not bound by these walls like we are, right? So, yeah, that's been on my heart. That's been on my heart this week. And also, something else Dad showed me, and this might take me a minute to get through, because I've been talking about moving forward. I've been talking about us moving forward as a body and us moving forward, right? And what does that look like? And I still don't have those answers. But last week, when they were here, and the Gregory, I believe his name is, talked about the crack in the pulpit and about, you know, the whatever, and moving the pulpit, and like, I just was broken. I was like, Dad, that's my dad's pulpit. That's my spiritual dad's pulpit. And what I realized is maybe I'm not as far ahead as I thought I was. What I felt like God is showing me is that I'm talking about moving forward. But maybe I'm not as far along in the process as I thought I was, you know, and just broken because I didn't want this. This isn't what I wanted ever. I was completely content forever pouring into Steve. But that's not what is now. And you want to know the beautiful thing and the growth that I've seen in me is just because someone said that, I don't have to move this pulpit unless God tells me to. Because a lot of times I get into this insecurity of, well, these people are older and they've been in the Lord longer and they know more, and so I should probably do what they say. And I'm just breaking free of that. And if God tells me to do that, then I will do that. But otherwise, this just reminds me that he's here and that he's with us and that he is now cheering us on. And you know, he used to be so goofy, and he would just sometimes stand up here and go, yeah, and I can't raise my arm that high, but he'd be, yeah, and I can just sometimes see him when we talk about moving forward, and we talk about, and I can see him up there just, yeah, Eastgate, yeah, yeah, you know? And he's like, yeah, and I can just see him going all around, yeah, do you see Eastgate, yeah, you know? And probably wishing I would do a hand-raising survey or something of some sort once in a while, but I can't do it. So, no. So, I can't even think of a survey. Like, I don't, yeah. He was a good dad. He is a good dad. He's, yeah. So, I say all that to say I'm asking Dad to show me the areas that maybe I'm not as far along in as I thought I was, because I want us to move forward. I want us to accomplish everything that God has desired for this body in this city. I want us to accomplish all of it. And I want all of us to do our part. So while we were in worship, I'm going to be in Galatians in a second. While we were in worship and we were singing that last song about holy, 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 I was reminded of all the times, like when prophets or people in the Bible had encounters with the angelic or with the presence of God, almost always, not always, but almost always, they fell on their knees or they fell on their face in holy fear. And every time, almost every time, if you look at their encounters, the angelic being or the presence were to stand up and be not afraid. Stand up and be not afraid. And I was thinking about that. And I was thinking about holiness and God, you are so holy. And I could feel like this weight and just kind of pressing me down. And I was like, God, you are so holy. If I allowed this, it would break me. Like the weight of his holiness. If we had to come into, and this is annoying. Where's the other one? Why does this fit everyone but me? I'm not, is the other one up there? that one's like Britney Spears, 1995. I'd have to shave my head, Britney. That's where that's from. Anyway, I'm glad you guys love me. Sweet Jesus. All right, so holiness, that's where I was. So holiness, right? And it's like, but God, it's because of your holiness that I can enter into your holiness. And I want to go into Galatians chapter 3, and it's a long chapter, but do you have to have your phone a certain way, honey? I don't know how to use the Android anymore. There we go. All right, so bear with me. It's a lot of reading, but it's all about what I felt like God was showing me about entering into his holiness, and it's really not as difficult as we make it out. Crazy Galatians, did someone, and I'm reading in the message, did someone put a hex on you? Have you taken leave of your senses? Something crazy has happened, for it's obvious that you no longer have the crucified Jesus in clear focus in your lives. His sacrifice on the cross was certainly set before you clearly enough. So then Paul puts this question. How did your new life begin? Was it by working your heads off to please God? Or was it by responding to God's message to you? Here's the question. Are you going to continue this craziness? For only crazy people would think that they could complete by their own efforts what was begun by God. If you weren't smart enough or strong enough to begin it, how do you suppose you could perfect it? And the church has been really good about preaching salvation by grace, but keeping it by works. Did you guys hear that? We've preached salvation by grace, but we keep it by works. Sounds a lot like what Paul's coming against here. If we were not smart enough or strong enough to do it in the first place, what makes us think that we'll be able to perfect it? Did you go through this whole painful learning process for nothing? It is not yet a total loss. But it certainly will be if you keep it up. Here he comes with another question. Does the God who lavishly provides you with his own presence, his Holy Spirit, working things in your lives you could never do for yourselves, does he do these things because of your strenuous moral striving or because you trust him to do them in you? This stuff is just preaching itself, isn't it? Don't these things happen among you just as they happened with Abraham? He believed God, and the act of belief was turned into a life that was right with God. Is it not obvious to you that persons who put their trust in Christ are like Abraham, their children of faith? It was all laid out beforehand in Scripture that God would set things right with non-Jews by faith. Scripture anticipated this in the promise of Abraham that all nations will be blessed in you. So those now who live by faith are blessed along with Abraham who live by faith. This is no new doctrine, and that means that anyone who tries to live by his own effort, independent of God, is doomed to failure. If there's areas we're failing in, I would probably think it's areas where we're living independent of his promise. It's areas where we're living independent of what he has done for us and what he has done in us. Scripture backs this up. Utterly cursed is every person who fails to carry out every detail written in the book of the law. So the obvious impossibility of carrying out such a moral program should make it plain that no one can sustain a relationship with God that way. No, not one of us could have sustained a relationship with God by fulfilling the law. The person who lives in right relationship with God does it by embracing what God arranges for him. This next part, like, hit me. Doing things for God is the opposite of entering into what God does for you. Ha, huh, right? Like, we could meditate on that for a long time. Doing things for God is the opposite of entering into. Because, see, that's what Jesus' death on the cross has done. It has invited us to enter into a relationship that we could never have attained on our own. We could never have attained it, and we could never have sustained it. But God. But God. Right? I love but God. Habakkuk had it right. The person who believes God is set right by God, and that's the real life. Rule keeping does not naturally evolve into living by faith, but only perpetuates itself in more and more rule keeping, a fact observed in Scripture. The one who does these things continues to live by them. Christ redeemed us from that self-defeating cursed life by, he absorbed it, by absorbing it completely into himself. All of the penalty of our sin, he absorbed every ounce of it. Every ounce of the law that you and I could not fulfill in and of ourselves, he absorbed every single bit of it, every T crossed and every I dotted. He absorbed it, he did it, and it's ours to live in. Huh. Like, it has nothing to do with us. We just have to respond. We just have to respond to his invitation of love and holiness and what Jesus did on the cross. And if it's only about rule keeping, right, there will always be more rules and more rules and more rules and more rules and more rules. And when you don't live up to those rules or those expectations, there's disappointment and there's failure. But when we are entered into a relationship with God and we're entered into his what he has done for us, when we fail and we make mistakes, we can come into his presence because we understand that it's not really about us. Because see, if it's about me and about keeping rules, every time I fail, I'm not going to understand that I can come into his presence in the state that I'm in. Because I'll feel like such a failure that I won't. And that's what the enemy has done. He has done such an incredible job of convincing God's children that if they make mistakes or they fail, that they can't come into the presence. That they can't come into his presence because they're a failure or they're this or they're that. And the very presence is the very thing that sets us free from the very failure that we find ourselves in. So it's really brilliant. It's really strategic on the part of the enemy. Because if he can keep us out of the very place that will set us free from the failure that we're in, then he has succeeded. We are not separated from God and his love in any sense of the word. Because it says nothing, nor height, nor depth, nor this, nor that, or all of the things that I can't quote right now because I don't remember them, can separate us from the love of God. I'm so spiritual. Oh, sweet Jesus. Before Google, I used to know where stuff is in the Bible, and now I've relied on Google so much that I don't, yeah. So if you see me on my phone, I'm usually Googling what God's speaking to me, like, because I know it's in Scripture somewhere, and I got to find it. So I just Google a phrase, and there it gives me the Scripture. So when I was in college, though, I used to have to go to the Strong's and go to all this and that, and Thank God for Google. That's a lot of work. I don't know why I just shared all that, but so yeah, right? If the enemy can keep us out of the presence, it's the very place that just causes change. It's the very place that will give us and bring us into where we really want to be. Christ redeemed us from that self-defeating curse life by absorbing it completely into himself. Gosh, Jesus is so good too. He really is. He counted it joy. He counted it joy. Do you remember the scripture that says, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree"? That is what happened when Jesus was nailed to the cross. He became a curse and at the same time dissolved the curse. And now because of that, the air is cleared. The air, the atmosphere even, the air. Things, when Jesus died, right, things happened in the spirit realm and they happened in the natural. The veil was torn. Like there was something that happened in the spiritual realm, but it also manifested in the natural realm, right? And the separation that once separated us from the very presence of God, what was once only the priest of the holiest appointed priest could enter into that place. When Jesus absorbed all of it into himself, it opened up so that everyone could enter in. Everyone, if they received Christ, everyone could live out the priestly anointing. Huh. Everyone could live it out. And you didn't have to tie a rope around our ankles anymore either. Thank God, because I probably would have been drugged out the first time, right? Like, because I meant well, but I didn't always live well. I still don't, but God's good. Why does it keep going back up to the top, Hendrick? My goodness. I know, I don't. I hope it's not where Chubby can chew it. Oh, sweet Jesus. I don't know where I'm at. All right. Oh, here we go. Yeah, because the air is cleared, I was stuck on that. So if you walk into a place and it's cloudy and the air around you is not good, you can just, right? You can activate what Christ did for you on the cross, and you can say, because of what Jesus did, the air is clear, so the air around me, you must clear up, right? I know that's, yeah. Come on. He absorbed it, air. He absorbed all the darkness in you. He absorbed all the stuff that's in this atmosphere. So I'm calling it to be cleared in Jesus' name. And we can see that Abraham's blessing is present and available. So, Daddy, right now we just ask that you clear the air so that everyone can see the promises of you. Everyone can see and understand the promises of Abraham and that we are his descendants. And we live by the promise. We live by the promise, and we are no longer a cursed people. We are no longer living under the curse. So I pray that in every area where the enemy has deceived your people, God, and we are living under the curse, and we are living under the law, God, that you would show us that we are children of promise, and we are heirs to Christ. And the beauty of love and the beauty of entering into his relationship is that when we enter in what he has done, right, we enter into love and we fall in love, we'll just keep the law. We'll just keep it. And it won't even be a thing. It won't even be, right? There may be areas where we make mistakes and we fall short, but it's by his blood that we can come in and we can enter in. And when we fall in love, and we stay in love, love is a choice, love is a conscious choice. We may fall into love, but to stay in love is a conscious choice. So if we fall in love and stay in love, the law, it won't even be an issue. Like, it really won't. Friends, let me give you an example from everyday affairs of the free life I am talking about. Once a person's will has been ratified, no one else can annul it or add to it. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his descendants. You will observe that scripture in the careful language of a legal document. Does not say to descendants, referring to everyone in general, but to your descendants, referring to Christ. This is the way I interpret this. A will earlier ratified by God is not annulled by an addendum attached 430 years later, thereby negating the promise of the will. No, this addendum, with its instructions and regulations, has nothing to do with the promised inheritance in the will. What is the point, then, of the law, the attached addendum? It was a thoughtful addition to the original covenant promises made to Abraham. The purpose of the law was to keep a sinful people in the way of salvation until Christ came, inheriting the promises and distributing them to us. Obviously, this law was not a first-hand encounter with God. It was arranged by angelic messengers through a middleman, Moses. But if there is a middleman, as there was at Sinai, then the people are not dealing directly with God, are they? But the original promise, here's what he's saying, the original promise, which is to Abraham, is the direct blessing of God received by faith, because God himself encountered Abraham. There was no middleman. God gave Moses the law and the Ten Commandments, and he came down and distributed them. The promise is in the direct line of God speaking his promise to Abraham. If such is the case, is the law then an anti-promise, a negation of God's will for us? Not at all. It's not, its purpose was to make obvious to everyone that we are in ourselves out of right relationship with God. The law has a purpose. And therefore, to show us the futility of devising some religious system for getting by on our own efforts. The law exposes where we're independent of God. If we're living by the law, it exposes where we're independent of God. By getting our own efforts, what we can only get by waiting in faith for God to complete his promise. For if any kind of rule-keeping had power to create life in us, we would certainly have gotten it by this time. Jesus would not have had to rebuke the Pharisees and the Sadducees had the rule-keeping been the way. Right? Because they were the ultimate rule-keepers. Like, they kept everything. They did everything by the law and the Pentateuch and the ways of the Old Testament. Until the time when we were mature enough to respond freely in faith to the living God, we were carefully surrounded and protected by the law. The law was like those Greek tutors which you are familiar, who escort children to school and protect them from danger or distraction, making sure the children will really get to the place they set out for. So the law was meant to set parameters and boundaries, right? So that we as a people could get to the appointed time of Christ coming. God was trying to keep us in relationship until Christ could come and fully restore us unto himself. But now you have arrived at your destination. By faith in Christ, you are in direct relationship with God. Your baptism in Christ was not just washing you up for a fresh start. It also involved dressing you in an adult faith wardrobe. Christ's life, the fulfillment of God's original promise. That's what I want. I want God's original promise. And his original promise was the Garden of Eden. His original intent was no separation. His original intent was to walk with us and talk with us and come into the garden. And his intent was for us to be able to live naked in front of him, fully unclothed, but fully clothed with his righteousness. Yes, and his glory. I hate being naked. So that thought is like, oh God, please clothe us in heaven. Get to wear clothes up there. But I guess when we're up there, it won't bother me, right? I don't know. Like, see, we can't even wrap our minds around his original intent. We seriously can't, because all we've known is this fallen world. All we've known is here. And so no wonder it's been so difficult. And God wants to invade our reality with his reality. And he wants to invade our kingdom with his kingdom. And overtake our kingdom, because our kingdom's fallen. We were never intended to cover ourselves. We were never intended to live that way. We were never intended to cover ourselves. It was only after sin entered the world that Adam and Eve even came into an understanding of their nakedness. Sin exposes nakedness. And from the very beginning, God is so good. And he knew Adam and Eve had sewn fig leaves together, and God covered them. Because I even believe in that, he was saying, your own covering. He was even speaking in that moment, your covering is not going to keep you. It's not going to hide you. But let me, from the very beginning, God said, let me cover you. And he kicked them out of the garden for their own sake, because he loved them. Everything, do you understand? Everything that God does is because he is motivated by love for us. And it's a love that is so pure, and it has no agenda, and it has no motive, and it has no strings attached other than pure, unadulterated love. Purest love that we can't even fathom and we can't even wrap our heads around, because all we've known is this. And if we could truly, I believe, understand how truly pure his love is, we would respond like without hesitation. Everything that he does is for our good. Everything that he does is for our good. The problem is, we believe we know what is best for our own good. And that gets in the way sometimes. But I just want to encourage you guys this morning, like, his presence is where it's at. And it's because of what Jesus did that no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, no matter the thoughts that we've had, no matter the words that we've said or the condition of our heart, like, it's because of what he's done for us on the cross that we can come in to the very presence that will bring change. And it's because of relationship with him and intimacy with him that will bring us in, and it will cause us to start having victory in the areas of failure that we've been living in. But it's not going to come by more rule keeping. It's not going to come it comes from relationship, and it comes from falling in love, and it comes from receiving and entering into everything that God has done for us. Because we are victorious. We are already victorious. because Jesus said so. Even if we're not living there, it doesn't negate what Jesus has done. It doesn't negate anything. We just need to awaken to it, that's all. We just need to awaken to it, and then we need to receive it, and then we just need to walk in it. Awaken, receive, and walk. You can't walk in something you haven't received. You can try, but if you haven't received his goodness, if you haven't received the reality and the truth of all that Jesus has done, and that he really has set us free from any and every obligation, if there is obligation in our walk, and our walk has obligation in it from any other place other than being in love, let it go. Let it go. Because obligation sets us up for failure, really. Because you can only stay obligated so long before something frustrates you to the point of walking away, before something offends you, before something, right? But if I am in love and I am in relationship and I am in just wanting all that God has for me and realizing that it's in him that I can accomplish anything and it's nothing in and of myself, then when we come into those places and into those situations, we'll have the ability to stay. Because it's him who allowed us to attain it, and it's also him who will allow us to sustain this walk. Right? Well, God, I just thank you for this morning, and I thank you for Father.